Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
You're listening to Griefcast with me, Carrie Adloyd. How do we grieve for someone? How does it change and evolve as we get older? My dad died when I was 15, and it took me many, many years to be able to express what I had gone through. So I decided to create Griefcast, a chance to talk, share, and laugh about the weirdness of grief and death. But with comedians, so it's not that depressing, I promise. Each time I talk to a different comedian about their own personal experience of grief, as we remember someone that they have lost along the way. Whether it was a long time ago or you've just joined the club, this is a chance to talk about the peculiar human process of death. Welcome to Griefcast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet Plush Care, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, Griefsters. I hope you're having an okay week. Firstly, thank you so much for the love on the badges. If you didn't see, they were back on sale briefly. There's still some in stock, not loads. I don't know when I'm going to do them again because it's just me. And I've had to rope in my mum to even help me post them because it's so stressful trying to get them to you. If you have ordered, it will be with you as soon as we can. And I said there are a few different designs left. So if you want them, do head to my website, which is just carrieadloyd.com/shop, I think. But thank you so much. I wish I could do more of them. It's just a bit tricky at the moment with writing the book, being pregnant and having another child as well. So yeah, a bit full on. It always turned into a little oral diary, but there you go. Also, thank you so much for your lovely comments, as you do every week. If you are enjoying the show, you know what I'm going to say. Please rate, review and subscribe. Tell people about it. It really makes a difference and allows me to keep doing it. This week is a special live episode we recorded in September this year at the London Podcast Festival at King's Place. It's an amazing festival. Do check it out next year, I guess. But it was so, so much fun. I was joined by stand-up comedians Tom Parry, Jenny Bead and Kemar Bob. And we had a very, very funny chat about death. Tom's story at the end particularly is one of the funniest stories about funerals that I've ever heard. So do stick around and I hope you enjoy. Hey, Griefsters. I hope you're having an okay week. Please put your hands together for it's me, Carrie Lloyd. Hello. Thank you so much for being there. How are we, Griefsters? It's always a difficult question, isn't it? Okay, I'm okay. I am Carrie Ad. Hello. If you haven't seen the show before, you might be worried. Please, can you give me a... give me a woo if you listen to the Griefcast. And give me a if you've never heard the show. Okay, cool. That's fine. I like this situation. This happens a lot when we do live shows, and it means that your friend has brought you here. And all day you've been thinking, oh my God, I love them, but I don't want to see a show about death. Why am I doing this? But you're here. Congratulations on being a supportive person. Thank you so much for coming on a Sunday, on a nice day as well. I saw the weather. I thought no one wants to come and listen to about death on a sunny day, but you do, and I do, and that's why we're in the same club. I'm going to be joined by some amazing, amazing
amazing guests. They have done all sorts of things. You'll recognize them from, oh my God, from Bad Arts, from Murder and Successful, from the News Quiz, from Guilty Feminist, a range of things. I think they've all just come back from Edinburgh, so they're probably still tired. So please put your hands together for Jenny Bead, Tom Parry, and Kemar Barb, everyone.
Woo! Hi, guys.
Hi.
It's very relaxed. It's like, I was going to say we're in my living room, and I thought, oh, yeah, no, it does happen. I do talk about death in my living room. Oh, yeah, and I'm pregnant. That's the other thing. I just forgot I hadn't mentioned it. I thought to myself, make sure you mention it, because otherwise it's that thing where everyone's like, is she full? Is she? Maybe she had a big roast dinner. No, I am with child. So we're here to talk about death. Thank you so much for joining me, Kemar, Tom, and Jenny. Jen, I'll start with you. How do you feel about death? Are you someone who is totally chill? I'm laughing because I know Jenny. Or are you like a bit worried about it?
I think what will surprise you is because I'm not totally chill in all other aspects of life. I'm quite a catastrophizer. That I can think of so many worse things to happen to me while I'm alive. The idea of me dying doesn't bother me.
Oh, because you're worried about all the severe tragic accidents.
Yeah, and things like that. But
we both have anxiety and both catastrophize.
A lot. Quite exhausting.
Oh, sometimes. It's so exhausting.
We can really one-up each other. But no, but as a result, I feel like, honestly, I don't know if it... that sounds bad, I'm not going to say that. But that... sometimes, like, it's my anxiety will get so bad, you go, oh, do you know what?
When you die, it will be over.
Yeah. Thank you. Say that because it's your podcast.
No, you're in the right place. Okay. I feel like that.
Do you?
I feel like, at least there will be a point I stop worrying.
Exactly. Yes. That's exactly how I feel.
It's because it'd be nice to know that, because it is so, if you have anxiety, it's so relentless, and there are some days you think, oh, come on. Shut up.
Think, oh, the sweet release. Just not having to think about it at all.
Yeah, and that doesn't mean, it's not like, oh, bring it on.
Yeah, no, exactly.
But it's a bonus. It's an extra bonus.
If something terrible happens, don't worry about me because I'm probably making the most of it.
Yeah, exactly.
I am terrified of my parents and all my family and everyone else dying. So it's a mixed bag,
isn't
it?
That's true, isn't it? When you're a catastrophizer, it's more like you just, as people leave you, you're like, I hope they don't die. Yeah, anyone? No, it's just me and Jen. Come on, you liars. Tom, how do you feel about... Hello. Are you... I feel like you're not a catastrophizer.
No, I'm not a catastrophizer at all. I'm probably the opposite of a catastrophizer. Yeah. I don't know what
that
is.
What would that be? A happy-fizer?
A chillifizer.
Well, I don't think I'm chilled, but I think I'm like a celebrator, I guess.
Do you always think something positive is going to happen?
Yes.
Wow.
And I feel like I'm...
What's
I'm
that
real.
Like? What's it like? What's it like over there?
I'm optimistic. I mean, I'll tell you, I felt a change this year. I always used to feel quite... I kind of felt quite happy-go-lucky about death and kind of thought, look, we're lucky to be here.
Yeah.
We're all lucky to meet each other for a while and then we're going to go.
Yeah.
Let's enjoy the fact that we were here. Yeah. And I used to, when I was a student, I remember when I used to get a new diary. When December 16th, my birthday, so it'd be the end of the year, I'd always put in the age that I was going to be and a question mark. So I'd be like, 39, will I make it? Like, that's what I do now. But like, back then it'd be like, 26, question mark. Maybe I'll have gone by then, guys. And I didn't live an exciting life. Like, I wasn't like I was an extreme sportsman
or
something.
That's so funny. So you were sort of
I was just
kind of
like,
of
well, you know. But that's all changed this year. I must admit, I got married this year.
Yeah, congratulations.
And for the first time, there's been a profound shift. I'm suddenly very aware of mortality, and I'm suddenly like, oh, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. This is good. And everything says it should be. And you suddenly start thinking,
it's nice.
Well, don't mess it up and die. You know, like,
yeah, that's interesting because that is slightly on the anxiety catastrophe, because that's a big thing. When things are nice, you're like, this is nice. Oh God, they're going to take it away, aren't they? Like, because it's like when things are good, it's actually quite scary. When things are bad, you're like, yes, this is what I thought would happen. I thought it would be shit. I'm ready for this. Kemar, how do you feel about it?
Oh man. Death is weird, man.
It is weird. It's really weird.
Death is pretty hardcore.
Is it something that bothers your brain a lot? Are you not really...
Well, I feel like when I was younger, I used to be really, really afraid of it.
Okay.
But I was just afraid in general. It was a scary time. And then, you know, growing up, I've just tried to avoid thinking about it as much as possible. So I've really kind of just been like, I mean, something's going to happen, you know, maybe. I just like to, not today, right? Not today.
So you're one of the, like, just put it out of your brain. It doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Don't ever consider it.
Been trying to keep it as far as possible, but moving here has been interesting.
Yeah.
Because I'm from Texas. I'm currently not in Texas.
No, I'm sorry.
We are at the London Podcast Festival. And I've been here for years. And, you know, I'm having birthdays, and so are my old folks.
Oh, yeah.
It is freaking me out. And I'm facing this weird moment right now where I'm like, I really love where I am and what I'm doing where I am, but I'm missing out on what could possibly be, you know, the last years of what I call my core four.
Who are the core four?
So all of my grandpas are dead. So I have my mom, my dad, and their two moms.
Oh, nice.
My core four.
Core four. Solid. That's a good number.
It's pretty. We're doing it. We're making it work. I actually had a bonus grandpa, and then went ahead and died too. That's what they do.
That is so annoying. That's one of the best things someone ever said to me. I was in the car once with Ken Campbell, which isn't a name drop really, but he's like a famous sort of theatre impresario person. And he was asking me all these questions. He was like, what will your dad do? And I was like, oh, he's dead. And he went, yeah. He said, they have a habit of doing that, dad.
They do it.
And I thought, that's the best reaction anyone's ever had. I was like, yeah, thanks. They do, don't they? Yeah, cheers. That's nice. But yeah, grandpa's also, yeah. That's hard, isn't it? My brother lives abroad, and it is...
It's weird.
It's really weird, because you're like, oh, great. I'm so glad you're happy. But also all these things are happening, and you don't get them back. But then it doesn't mean you're doing the wrong thing. You can't live your life by those other decisions.
That's so weird. Like, I was on the phone with my grandma, and she was casually like, yeah, and you know I've got some kind of congestive heart failure. And I'm like, no, I don't. You've not mentioned this one time. Also, this might be good for me to know for my own medical records. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, spread the medical family details. Yeah. Grandma.
Don't know.
Have they ever come over here?
So my mom has come. Two of the core four have made it.
That's nice.
One is not very travel savvy at the moment. Like, she's getting older. Yeah. And long walks in the park or in the city not happening, or to the airplane. Yeah. She's not doing that. My dad, I like to bitch about my dad and how he can afford to come, and he never does. And he just sent me some dates last week, and I was like, meh. What will I complain about?
He does love you. Yeah. It's odd. I think the thing, I think everybody thinks about it, but like you said, it's interesting because, like, that's very three different distinct reactions. Because I think, like, we have this similar thing of, like, because it scares us, we think about it all the time. Yeah. Like, as in, like, oh, if I think about the time, I can control it. Whereas other people are like, no, just don't think about it. Then it's safer over there. But I'm like, no, because then it will get you. You need to be thinking about it. Be prepared. Is that how you feel? Like, be prepared for it?
Not for my own, but for other people's.
Yeah.
It's that thing of, you never want to get too happy. You always want to be.
Exactly. So similar. I know other people are like, that's so sad. You're like, it's fine. I live with it. It's fine.
and it's. I remember one of the first times we talked about the same anxiety. We were like, oh, that's so nice to know.
Yeah, you were the first people. You said it like, oh, yeah, obviously, I'm terrified. I was like, oh, yeah, oh, great. Oh.
Yeah, just terrified all the time.
Terrified all the time, constantly feeling sick, like people are going to die. Oh, great, I'm not alone. I'm not alone, guys.
And you could look at it as a sort of, oh, well, are we just, you know, like scouts? Are we like, always be prepared?
Yeah, that's true. I used to, when I was a kid, be like, maybe I'm psychic.
Oh, damn.
I know, because you're like, well, I think about it all the time. I'm worried. Maybe I know.
And then I worry that because I think about it so much, I'm going to bring it into existence.
That's the other thing you think.
I don't know why I think that's so magical, but yeah.
Manifesting.
Yes, I think, it's like real. The fates will know that you're thinking about it.
Especially if you've read The Secret and it says you are your thoughts. That's a confusing book. Don't read it.
I haven't read The Secret. My uncle lent me the DVD.
Let me tell you, the same.
The DVD of the book is crazy, and it's actually better because I think in the book you can sort of be like, yeah, maybe, you know, that is true. But on the DVD, someone be like, you are your thoughts, and then someone be like, I made $1 million by thinking of it. You do have a much more like, that sounds like bullshit, yeah. doesn't it? It really helped because I didn't get sucked in, and I normally get sucked into these things very badly. I did it a bit.
But a really good way.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I do have that as well, worry. I'm better now because I used to think all the time, like, oh, if I worry about death, I'm calling it in. And now I'm like, yeah, what I've noticed is they're still dying even when I'm not thinking about it. So I've accepted, like, it's just going to happen.
And do you find since, like, do you the more real things you have going on in your life, the less you think about it?
No, because I do a show about death.
That is true.
That is one thing. My therapist likes to bring that up all the time whenever I'm, like, talking about it. She's like, yes, and you have chosen to do this regular show. And it's weekly, you said. And I'm like, yeah, it's weekly about death. Yeah, but I think that has helped in a way. I know, calling Dr. Freud. but I think it's helped in a way because it's so present that actually what it has done, because it's so present, I talk about it all the time, is I don't feel the need to think about it as much. Yeah. So like, I feel like when I'm doing other things, it's a bit calmer because it's a bit tired. It's like a bit like, oh, those thoughts, I've done them all week. So now I can watch Fosse Verdon and enjoy myself. So good. Tom, do you have like thoughts for how you want to die? Like, is there a kind of like...
Yeah!
No, but I'm not the only person thinking about it. Like, there's thoughts of like how you want to go, right? Or are you so optimistic you're just like, I don't want to know?
No, I mean, I obviously would like to go at a good age.
What's a good age? Because I did a live show with Camille Youcan, who was like 120.
Yeah, whoa.
And I was like, whoa. She thought we all meant 120 when we said good age. I was like, no.
47.
Yeah, well,
that's
solid.
My wife's got quite a, not a traumatic family history, but like her family, you know, she lost her dad, you know, when she was quite young. And similarly, her grandparents and things. She thinks a good age is like 65.
I agree.
And it's like, yeah. And I was like, what? 65? Yeah. She was like, yeah, it's a good age.
Because my dad died when he was 44. So when people say 65, I go, oh, yeah, that's good. That's lucky.
Yeah, I think that's your...
Yeah, your scale is completely different. And when people Everyone's, say 90, you're like,
yeah.
what?
Yeah.
Fucking hell. What did you talk to them after the last 10 years? Like, what were you doing? But then my grandma got to 100, and I've talked about this before. She wasn't having a great time at the end. Yeah, like she was, I don't think she really knew what was going on.
I think I'd take an age where, you know, when people get to a certain age where it doesn't really matter how old they are, they're just kind of that age.
Yeah.
So I think anything past 74, maybe. Once you've gone past 74, you could be 82.
Just floating.
You could be, you know, and I kind of think, in fact, when I think about the people I've lost, my grandparents, I always think, well, they were... 70-ish, 80-ish.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the kind of, I'd like to get past 70, I think.
Yeah, you'd like to, if people were like, how old is, if they didn't know your age, they'd be like, oh, he was old.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah, he was old. They would be like,
it's his time.
Yeah, he was old. I don't know how old, but he was old. You wouldn't describe him as middle-aged. You'd be like, yeah, you're old. I think that is 74. I think that's a good guess.
It might be 74.
Yeah.
Yeah, so as long as I touch 74, then... And I think there's the odd adage of like, I'd like to die doing something.
Oh, would you?
Yeah.
What, in bed or sleeping?
No, I'd like to go like doing something.
Like,
or like
jet skiing.
Well, yeah. No, not even like something milder than that. Like, you know how like a lot of people say golf and fishing are the two most dangerous sports because most people die. Like, if you look at mortality rates, more people die playing golf than any other sport.
We're never going to play golf.
Because old people play golf. So like, you know. That's why, it's because old people play golf, so you're far more likely, if you look at the stats, it's a deadly game. it's lethal.
The most dangerous game.
And I kind of like the idea of like, you know, playing crown green bowls and going, you know, like just like,
leaning over.
Yeah, and then he's gone. Oh, there he died. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's doing sport. It seems to me that's what I've hit on. But like, I'd like to die outdoors.
Oh, nice.
And then just kind of, you know. Yeah, I think that's...
It's a cute scene.
It sounds scenic, yeah.
Outdoors and quick.
Outdoors and quick, yeah.
That's how I like it as well. Outdoors and quick! Yeah. In the rain!
When God asks you, yeah, tick. Kima, how do you want to go? What age are you hoping? You hoping to get past 74?
Any time will do. I'm going to go out on a table doing some tequila shots. Whoa. I just hope it's just not violent.
Oh, no, I think that's fair. I think that's fair, like, yeah.
Not violent.
Not violent.
Not drowning. I still don't know how to swim, so that's a very possible.
Oh, yeah. You don't have to swim.
That thing about non-violent, just very quickly. On my stag do,
who did you kill?
We went crazy. On my stag do, they've done like a Mr. and Mrs. where they'd interviewed fiance and said, like, here are some questions. And my hero is this old footballer called Steve Ball. He's like a Wolverhampton footballer. And so they'd given him the answers and got him to read out the answers.
Oh, my God.
So it was like Steve Ball was doing Mr. and Mrs. with me on this video. And I was like, this is incredible. And then it came to, what is your... And Steve Ball's really from Wolverhampton. So he was like, what is Jane's greatest fear? And I was like, I don't know. I said, like, dying, maybe? And he went, no, it says being murdered to death in her own home by an intruder. Fair play, that is a massive fear. it's like such a weird moment.
Murdered to death.
Murdered to death. Murdered to death in her own home.
Don't
fair play.
Pass it.
She was murdered, not to death, so it's fine.
Murdered to
she's
death.
Okay, she's
murdered
okay.
a bit.
That is hilarious. So on your stag do as well, romance.
Murdered to death. Fair play, that is a massive fear.
Yeah, that is a massive fear.
I mean, that is a massive fear, but also a little irrational because I'm more likely to be murdered by you. Not an
intruder.
Statistically
speaking.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Your own husband. It be your own husband.
On a golf course.
On a golf course.
Never go for the husband.
Yeah, that's true.
So as long as it's non-violent.
Non-violent.
Yeah, that's ideal. I don't know. I don't want to be like super cliche. I'm like, oh, she passed away peacefully in her sleep.
But I think that's fine. That's what I mean? I'm after.
I feel like it's pretty chill.
I don't want to be outside. I don't want to be like, but then you people have got to get an ambulance to that golf course or the bowls thing. Yeah. And
that prayer where it's like, if I die before I wake, like that's fucked up.
What's that from?
Like it's like now I lay me down to sleep.
Yes,
you know
yes,
what I mean?
Yes, yes, yes.
I pray to the Lord, very religious, my soul to keep.
Yeah.
If I should die before I wake, I grew up saying that like every night.
Well,
that's creepy
as
fuck.
Religious upbringing in Texas.
Yeah. So scary. I was so afraid.
I guess that it's written in a time where that was possible, though. Do you know what I mean? It's been a time where it was like, oh God, fingers crossed.
Whoa.
Fingers crossed, scarlet fever, cholera, something doesn't take
this
us.
This could be the last night.
Yeah.
It does feel like died in their sleep was like a phrase that covered a lot of things. Nowadays, people say, well, that happened because his pancreas was... But back in the day, it'd just be like, he died in his sleep.
Yeah,
I actually quite prefer that as like a little blanket kind of, we don't know how.
When also, like, I guess they didn't have as much like... medical words for things. So just generally it was like, they died.
They just died in their sleep.
They just died.
Oh, but when they're awake, that's when we know it's a problem.
And they didn't have a word like for cancer and stuff. So they used to just sort of like, of a growth. They'd just be like on all the old death records of a growth and they died. Yeah, because they didn't have the, you know, as much detail as we have now. Which is great. We've got so much detail. It's really nice to know how you're dying. You're still going to die. It doesn't matter. Jen, how do you want to go?
Yeah, I like the idea of being outside. Going,
oh, do you? I really don't want to be outside.
I
don't know why. It just seems very cold.
You're not like a natural outdoorsy person,
are you? I genuinely, today was such a nice day. And I was pushing my daughter back to my house and it was boiling. And she was like, should we go and watch telly? I was like, yeah. And I thought, I had that thought to myself, oh, it's nothing better when it's sunny and just going inside. I love it. I mean, look at this skin colour. I'm not made for it. I crisp so quickly. But yeah, so you like outdoors.
I like the idea of doing something active. I know someone whose father-in-law recently passed. What's that thing when you, off the back of a boat?
What?
Fishing, water skiing.
Water skiing. And
water skiing.
He was quite young, but he was still relatively old to water ski, by all accounts.
Right.
And he went like surrounded by his family, showing off, being like, look at this.
Oh.
So it's tragic, of course, but it's also,
were they his final words?
Look at this.
That's a, yeah.
Or was it someone going, oh no, Pete, don't do that.
Yeah, like, No, it's fine would be really funny. Really funny final words. No, it's fine.
That's why I got it. I think it's fine.
Oh, God.
Yeah. But yeah, so the idea of maybe going doing Singing Your Love. But singing then, love. You know, what
would,
do I love
wouldn't
doing?
Wouldn't that be like singing in a musical, Jen?
It could be singing in a musical on stage, but it equally could be like scrolling through my phone whilst I'm half watching MasterChef. So do you know what I mean? I don't think either.
That is the dream. Because no one would know for ages because your face wouldn't change. It'd just be the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So true.
Glazed over.
I bet
be
so
like
many of us are going to go on our phones. Oh. And it'll be like, you'll be, people will be going, Jen is still typing. It's been 2 weeks now.
She's really thinking about that.
What
reply.
Is she replying? This is going to be an essay. God, I'm going to have to really read it when she sends it. Oh my God, that's so. You know, have you done that thing where you're scrolling at night and the phone hits you in the face? Is that going to like death by phone or like someone just pressed into it? Like forever liking someone else's picture.
Yeah, just scrolling while MasterChef or Interior Design Challenge, either. It's so good. I'm watching a lot of telly, guys. Really pregnant and tired.
Whilst it's summer.
Whilst it's summer, I've got to
get
do
inside.
Something. Stay inside.
I think I'm more know how I don't want to go than how I do want to go.
How don't you
want to
go?
I don't want to burn to death. Was it you that said fire? No, you said drowning. I don't want that either.
They all sound pretty gross.
Yeah, anything like that sort of nightmarish, isn't it? Like you think, oh, no thanks.
Anything I can see in a horror film, not into.
Yeah.
Anything like really elemental.
Yes.
I think.
Elemental, water, fire, earth.
Yeah, being buried alive is a real terror thing.
Blown to death by a wind.
Yeah,
it could happen.
Blown to death.
It must have been, somebody must have been blown to death.
Yeah.
It's so windy, John, careful.
No, it's okay. Oh.
It must have happened. Yeah, no, I know. Yeah, anything horror filmy is like, you don't want that. You don't want that. Speak, because I know you love music. Music at your funeral. Now, what I'm wondering is, would you pre-record a song so we can play it and hear you singing?
Oh, wow.
Because Jenny has an amazing voice, and I'd quite like to see you
do
a number.
That would be really funny.
That would be funny.
My dad desperately wants me to... My dad's nearly 70, and he's been saying for the last 10 years... Because he's a real, like, joker, dad joker sort of thing. And he's been saying for the last 10 years that he wants me to record, to make a recording of him going like, no, guys, I'm not dead. Open it up.
That's so fucking funny.
And then when it gets to the stage where people are like, oh, maybe this is really good, only joking.
You have to do that.
That is incredible.
Yeah.
Because I think the thing with pranks at funerals, hear us out, is if the person is a joker anyway, everyone's on board. You know what I mean? They're not going to be like, that's just him. What was just what he would have wanted. Yes, I think that's okay.
They'd be like, of course that's what happened. They wouldn't be like, oh, that's not
you
right.
You should do that.
Oh. I think we will at some point. They did promise me a long time ago they would never die, so I'm sort of still holding them to that. But
oh my God, my dad told me when I was little that he would die when I was like, he was dropping me off, and I was like, don't go. And he was like, why? And I was like, I'm afraid that you're not going to come back. What if you die? Oh. And then he was like, I'm not going to die for a long time. How old are you, little girl? And I was like, 8. And he goes, well, what's 8 times 11? He did some fucking death math. He was like, well, I'm not going to die till I'm 80. And I've just been counting down ever since.
God.
That's who does clever, that? Though. He was like, got you.
He was like, oh.
And he was helping your maths at the same
it's
time.
It's true.
What a great deal. But also, yeah, the whole, no, I used to make them promise they'd never die. And they'd be like, okay, promise. Ever? No, never. So still coming to the terms of that.
Still coming to, yeah.
But yes, though, I think with music, I don't know. The idea of leaving your voice behind is quite funny, I think.
I mean, because you have such a great voice, it would be a shame not to have it at the funeral.
I was thinking today about
it'd be really
my wedding.
Funny to get a mic
onto the iPhone recorder.
then your song plays.
That would be really funny.
It'd be really nice.
That would be great.
I mean, give us, and by us I mean society, some time, and we could set up a nice little hologram situation.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly, like, oh my God.
Live in concert.
Yeah.
3D.
You've
dead
got the
in
money.
Concert.
Jen in concert. Maybe we could like hitch the
coffin up as well, like project it onto the coffin.
A whole vibe.
So then it's almost, yeah, like get
yo,
a bit 3D.
Yo, this is lit. Love this. This is lit. I don't know if we're close enough, but I want to be invited.
Yeah, you are. This is it. Now you're thinking, let it be known, Kima, you are invited to my funeral.
Yeah, because this is cool right now. I hope I make it.
In many, many years' time, Kima turns up. She's like, no, she said.
She said,
go and listen to a Green Rules number. Just download it. It's on Acast or Apple or Spotify.
What do they call it now?
So have you thought about, Tom, have you thought about music at your funeral? Is there a song you want to like?
I have actually. I always think of Sir Duke. Do you know Sir Duke by Stevie Wonder?
Oh, right, yeah.
It's like my favourite song. It's like, you can feel it all over. It's like the happiest song I know.
It's like he's with us now.
It's like you can't hear that song and not want to dance to it. And I kind of like the idea of people wanting to have a little dance. I mean, yeah, that's how I feel about funerals in general. And I feel like that's the way I feel about my funeral is I want people to get the funeral done quite quickly and then go and party and go and sell it. I think there's, I always think that funerals are really hard. And I've been to some really tough ones. But it's the ones that have really felt like they worked are the ones where they became a celebration one way or another. And it may be just like, I remember like my granddad's, we just sat around and everyone said, let's go, let's tell some granddad stories. And it was like, here we go. And I always think that is how I want people to remember. Like, that's how I'd want, if I was going to go and I knew I was going to go, I'd tell people, talk about me loudly and often. And
play your Radio 4 show.
Yeah, no, never that. but like celebrate the fact that I was here and then get on with it, and just celebrate that we were here. And I think that's what I'd like it to be. Again, I'd quite like it to be outside.
Funeral outside, I'm okay. I just want to die outside, that's all. That's it. No. But funeral outside.
Funeral outside,
nice.
Immediately after I've died outside. Just get it done really quickly.
Buried on the bowls green.
This is a great spot.
But I feel like I'd like live music and I'd like fun music and then let people go on, have a bit of a celebration and then get on with it. That's kind of how I feel about it.
I think it's nice because, again, I've been to like a variety of funerals and some of them, you just can't, they're just not in a position to be celebratory at all.
Yeah.
But if you can, like you said, if someone has got past point where it's like, oh, okay, they lived a life, then I do think, because the ones that are older and sad are just like the most depressing things in the world ever.
I mean, my nan passed 2 years ago and she planned her funeral to the letter. Literally, my mom and my auntie went home and they found in her bedside drawer a little envelope and it had everything she wanted. It was about 4 years old and it's like literally saying, I want these pastors. She had three vicars that she'd contacted them 3 years before she passed away saying, just so you know, I'm booking you in to do a reading at my funeral. And they were like, oh, you're well, Gwenda, you've got years yet. And she went, I just want you to know that you're booked. And so, and she had planned everything, the hymns and everything. And to the extent, and none of us knew this was going to happen, but one of the vicars that she'd asked to do the service said, you don't know this, but she's written you a letter. And he got out this letter and read this letter from my nan just saying, I'm so proud of you all.
Oh.
It was extraordinary.
That's amazing.
And she said, I'm very proud of you all and I've had a lovely life. And thank you for all the love you've given me. I've been so grateful. It was astounding, and she was in a position to plan all of that.
Yeah.
And then right at the end, and then there was a really lovely moment where he left a bit, and then she'd written, P.S. Thanks for putting up with me, and it just got a really lovely. Everyone kind of laughed and cried, and it was on her terms. And I know so many people don't get to have funerals on their terms, but I think she knew what she wanted.
That is amazing.
She had it.
Amazing.
It was an astounding day because. And I as you do with grandparents' funerals, it was all about, for me, it was all about my mom and trying to get my mom through it. Mm-hmm. But my mom, it was the best thing. It was one of the best moments that could have happened to get her over losing her mom, because it was nothing but a celebration. It was nothing but like what Nan wanted it to be. It was an extraordinary thing. And I kind of think there's a woman who faced death clear eyes, and in her last few days, she knew she was dying and faith's an incredible thing, actually. When you talk about faith, it's like she had tremendous faith and she said, I know where I'm going and I'm going to a better place. And she faced death with sense of peace. That I just think that's incredible. Inspiring, you know, yeah. I've never seen anything like it. It was so inspiring. But then the way the funeral was just put the, you know, it was the proof that it was everything was how she, in order. She went with her affairs in order, I guess is how you describe it.
That is incredible. That is incredible. Well, because many people, like you said, don't get the chance or they just can't face it. Yeah. And I think such a, like, griefsters will tell you, like, so much admin. Yeah. And I do a lot of these live shows and sometimes people are like, oh, I don't care. And you're like, but somebody will have to make those decisions. Yeah. And someone will have to sit there and be like, fucking hell, was it, what Stevie Wonder song was it he said?
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was, you know, that, I can't think of a single Stevie Wonder song. Like, you know what I mean? And to have it all written out and just know that's in the drawer, I don't need to worry about it. I don't need to tell them and put that pressure on them I'm nearing the end of my life.
Yeah.
It's a nice thing to do for the people you're leaving behind,
it's
I suppose.
It's such a lovely That's what thing it was. To do. Yeah. It's such a gift of love to go, I'm doing this. And it is difficult. Not everyone can do it.
No.
But if you can, I think it just, that for your mum and your auntie must have been like, oh, great, we don't have to
worry. It. Absolutely.
That's incredible.
And my mum didn't, you know, I thought, is my mum going to be okay to get through today? And instead, you could see in her eyes, it was like, oh, we're celebrating this woman. And
but you're given permission, I guess, because it's not like, you know, we've got to think of coffins and who she wants and all this stuff. Yeah. And then you're worrying, is this what they wanted? Have I, especially that generation, I think there's a sort of like, they would have wanted certain things, certain hymns, certain people. Whereas I think as the younger you get down, it wouldn't be like, oh, they'd be very offended that hymn wasn't sung. Or that you'd be offended if Stevie Wonder wasn't played at your funeral.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back to Griefcast with Carrie Ad Lloyd.
Kiva, like, have you thought about your funeral or?
It was weird, right? Because, like, okay, there are different stages, right? So I'm currently 25, right?
No.
If I was to have a funeral, oh God, let's just touch the wood. My hands are up, my feet are on the floor, just trying to touch it up. I feel like within the next like 10 to 15, it would definitely just have to be like a blowout party, right? So there's like cool moments. Whenever it would happen, I would want to encourage people to tell the truth. Because one of the funniest things to me are how much we like lie for people at funerals.
Yeah.
It's fucking hilarious. It's like, oh, like I remember reading a passage at my grandpa's funeral about what an honorable and holy and honest man. And that was the same day I found out that my dad wasn't the youngest sibling and that I indeed had more uncles. hidden by this honest and holy man. I just find funerals so funny in that way. And so I would want people to, oh, you know what? Okay, a fucking roast would be lit.
Yes, yeah.
A roast would be amazing.
The Maybe the coffin thing, in the middle and then everyone could be like,
raise it up, put a crown on that shit, roast me. I'll only be upset that I can't watch it because my friends are fucking hilarious. And then at the end, for those who do partake, there would be a passing of a peace pipe. So you can rise with me or whatever is happening. Yeah.
That'd be nice. Yeah. I think that sounds lovely.
It's a whole experience. There's definitely like five DJs. There are five DJs in three rooms on multiple levels of the club. My funeral is Tiger Tiger.
I wonder if you can hire Tiger Tiger. Yeah, maybe you can. And they'd be like, it's not for an 18th birthday. But this is what she would have wanted. She said, let me play you the podcast. It's available on Acast, Spotify. She said, yeah, I think you're right, because it does, it's certain, if you can celebrate and you are 25, so it needs to reflect. I think that's the most when it doesn't reflect. I've been to funerals where it doesn't reflect the person.
Yeah, when I was in high school, this older kid died, and it was such a bummer, and I didn't know him very well. I just thought he was very hot, and so I was grieving on multiple levels. I went to the ceremony, which felt like, you know, it was like an extended friend thing, but also it was like the whole school was going. It was a very happening affair. And it was just really fucking cool. And I just remember his family, like, it just felt like him all over it, right? Yeah. And like the music that was playing, and even where we were, which was like this kind of nature preservy thing with like a leg, and he was just like a chill kind of hippie dude. And I just remember Do You Realize by the Flaming Lips being played at the end.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm just like, that is so that guy. And to this day, when I hear that song, I get a little, but I'm just like, yeah, I just want it to be me.
Yeah.
Like, you know?
I think that's, again, it's that thing of like respecting the person rather than a tradition, or like you said, or like the conventions of death and how we should, you know, be polite about something, respecting. And if they, you know, we're a scandalous person, that should be, I mean, I'm not talking like get all the illegitimate children up. Like, guess what? There's more. Sandy, come on. Yeah, I don't think. Do you want to be buried or cremated, Jen? Have you thought about that?
Thank you for asking.
It's a classic panel show question.
I think cremated.
Oh, yeah.
So talking about personal funerals, the only funerals I've really been to are family members who are Jewish, and they tend to be quite impersonal.
Oh, really?
They tend to be, if I'm wrong, I'd love to know, but maybe it's just my family, but there's not an awful lot of places like for little touches, like there's no music,
I didn't know that.
There's a whole thing, Jewish.
Well, it's very quick as well, isn't it? You've got to do it quick.
Like, sometimes within 24 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
But then there's the whole week of the Shiva process, which is like the week of mourning afterwards.
Yeah.
But they're not, yeah, I don't think I've ever heard music at a Shiva, a funeral. So, I've gone off subject.
No, this is.
So, is sitting Shiva, is that after the funeral?
Yeah, for like a week.
For a week.
Yeah, it's just the immediate relatives. So, they sort of sit on small chairs and everyone comes around to the house and it's...
Is that... It has to be small chairs.
Yeah, it does. It has to be low to the ground.
Yeah, I know. Genuinely. When I first heard, I was like, what? It's genuinely small chairs. It's about being...
Low to the ground.
Closer to
like getting pins and needles.
Stay grounded.
Gosh.
Yeah, and if they're old, it doesn't... And they're really little velvety chairs, aren't they?
Yeah.
But it's some, there is a... I mean, you should know. There is a reason for it.
There is a reason and I should know. But yeah, so...
We should all know.
Exactly.
But we don't.
Maybe we will after today, because we're going to look it up.
Tell us afterwards.
I feel like, so and particularly with that you have to be buried. And I've always found that terrifying because, I'm scared of being buried alive. So definitely what? Cremated. Cremated to death, please.
Yeah, cremated to death. Yeah.
Better to be burnt alive.
But then you're dead.
That's the weird thing. I don't want to be burnt alive, but I do want to be burnt after I've stopped being alive.
Right, okay.
Yeah. But then it's like cremated. If you're alive in the coffin and they burn you, at least it's over. Because I'm going to bury you and just be scratching that. Oh, God.
Okay, hang on. Yeah, let's not go down that route.
Oh, my, there's literally like one of my...
It's like the Italian bell thing.
What's the Italian bell thing?
Isn't it? There's somewhere in Italy that people are really...
Oh, with
paranoid.
The bell, they ring the bells. Yes.
So they get buried with a bell so that they can be woken up.
I'm going to put that down on a piece of paper. If for some reason you can't come make me, fill it with bells. fill it with
absolutely cramming
and a xylophone. Ding 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 ding.
Just in case.
Ding 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 ding. Yeah, because I think
surely
yeah.
a mobile phone would be more effective. I can't believe of all the phones you've gone for a xylo.
Batteries, rather than an eye. Low batteries yeah. or no signal. Imagine right. imagine you have a smartphone and there's no signal.
Like, have you seen that film Buried with is it Ryan
no,
Reynolds?
No, obviously I haven't seen that film.
Do not see that film.
Why would you did you
sorry,
watch it?
I feel like yes I did.
Why?
It was like a dare to myself.
Oh no.
And oh god, I lost the dare.
I don't dare myself anymore. If someone's no. like, no, go on, why don't you see what happens? I'm like, no, I know what will happen. Yeah. Nightmares.
Yes, exactly.
I'm too old for them and they still happen.
Sleep screaming. Yeah. So, yeah, no, don't watch that film ever.
No, that sounds horrific.
But yes, I think you're right to think about phone gosh. Signal.
Yeah, that's good. That's wise. let's all think about that. So if you are cremated, where do you want the ashes spread? The Edinburgh Festival. On the stage where I last performed.
Honestly, yeah. I have no preference.
Yeah.
Genuinely. Like, I'd quite like it to be something funny. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, you see these things where people carry them around and, yeah. like, trying to find the perfect place, and I just don't know. I don't like know what that place is. I've never felt...
Junction 7 of the M6, please.
Jen and I love that service no. station.
Jen and I are from North London. It would be Brent Cross.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
If you're from North London, you know. It's just a great shopping centre. It's not too big. It's not too small.
You know where everything is. It changes very, very...
It doesn't change. It's perfect.
Primark.
Phoenix.
I don't know. Do you know where you'd have?
No, I don't. I think I've always liked the idea of being scattered into the sea.
Yeah.
I like that idea because I really love the sea. I really love being by the beach. And I feel like that's... There's something about that that feels... Like, you're just going back, and you're going to just get taken away somewhere.
Circle of life.
Circle of life. and I just feels... Yeah, we... I think I've told this story before, but we scattered my dad's ashes in Wales, where he was from, on this, like... It's like this weird sand dune that's sort of near the sea, but not, you know, it's like... It's just sand dunes for ages, which my grandpa genuinely told me was because they made a film there and the Hollywood came over and bought all the sand, and I believed him for so long. It's just a sand dune. And then one time I was like, that's amazing that they bought this much sand to cover, like, from two towns. My brother was like, it was just here. Anyway... My grandpa also, his middle name, he told me his middle name was Merlin because we were descended from Merlin. And I was 25, and I was like, that's, you know, we're descended from Merlin, we can't be, he's not real. Like, honestly, his middle name was Mervin and he'd lied to me, and it took me so long because I was like, I always sort of thought, we're descended from Merlin. We're pretty
also,
special.
Also, that's not how middle names work.
I know. I think I just wanted to keep the dream with him, and I was like,
oh,
yeah,
I
yeah.
That.
So yeah, we spread his ashes amazing. On this sand dune, and it wasn't as bad as Big Lebowski-esque, but like it did blow, yeah. Yeah. And it did blow in my face, and I did get some of my dad in my eye. Yeah, like yeah, and people don't tell you windy Wales is windy and rainy, and yeah, and it was really funny. I'll be honest, because like we sort of like scattered to the air, and then I was like, oh god, ow, and then I was like. And my mum and brother didn't notice. And then they were like, oh no, oh God, what's happened? I was like, yeah, it's in my eye. And then we all started laughing because we were like, I mean, that is funny. Like, yeah. To get some ashes in your eye. It's just like, I mean, come on. That's like life laughing at you. I just thought it was quite fun. But that made me think, in the sea, less chance of spreading.
True. I've always thought you had to be a sailor to be buried, to be ashes thrown at sea. But
no, you can just go down.
There's no licenses for this sort of thing.
Okay.
Someone's patrolling the coast at all times. Sorry, can I see a naval badge?
Well, I think they don't encourage it, but like my granny and granddad were literally, my mum has two brothers and they split it into three and we all had an ice cream box and we just went down to Southend and just like, whoosh, like tipped it in before anyone kind of knew what we're up to. So you can, I don't, yeah.
This is making me think maybe I want to be buried.
I want to do it like in The Great Escape, but they've got pockets. Shaking you out the trousers.
You laugh, but so many people want to have their ashes scattered on football grounds and it's not allowed, and that is what.
So that's how it's
so
done.
So they either go to the football with a bit of it and do it through the trouser leg, or another guest said they just ran down and like security like, what are you doing? They're like, nothing. And then they're like, chucked it. And obviously you can't do it the bit, but like you can get like a bit on the, and like they're so, apparently they know what everyone's up to. So like, it's not the bloody ashes.
The ashes again.
Yeah. Like, you know, Emirates saying just full of ash. So yeah, it does happen. Yeah, I know. I'm going to, I always do this, we always talk about last words, which you brought up earlier, and I just want to read you some, last words for me are hilarious, because they're just obviously bollocks. They're obviously bollocks, because they're too, if you watch someone die, their last word is, that's it.
Yeah.
It's a small death rattle and a last gasp. There is no, depends what they're dying of, ofs. But yeah, like, thinking about last words. This one shows good, because you get you thinking.
Yeah.
And then I had a good, I was looking today, because I've read out a lot of last words, and then I found some, this just made me laugh so much. So Alexander the Great, warlord and king of Macedon, when asked about whom his vast empire should belong to after his death, just went, the strongest, and then died. And I was like,
what a dick.
Yeah. One, what a dick. And two, I was like, I mean, this is why Russell Crowe thinks his behavior is acceptable, because
the like, strongest.
The strongest, and then died. No, it's too much, isn't it? It's too much. This was another good one. Oh, I thought we'd all appreciate this. Augustus Caesar, Roman Emperor, said, the drama's over, applaud.
Yes!
Oh, he's won,
that's the one.
That's good, isn't it? That's
I remember to say that now.
Yeah, yeah. Applaud.
The drama's over.
Yeah. And then this one, this is quite a famous one you might have heard before. Which I, if it's true, it's so sad. I've offended God and mankind because my work did not reach the quality it should have. Leonardo da Vinci.
Oh, wow. Fuck off, mate.
Mate.
Fuck off.
Fuck off.
Fuck off, mate.
I mean, like, is like, you know when you have an extremely talented friend that will be like down on, or like a very successful friend that's like, I'm not doing well, and you're like, if you don't think you're doing well, what must you think of me?
Yeah.
Like, and that's like, imagine Da Vinci's mates just being like, are you fucking kidding me? He said what? Oh,
absolute
fuck off.
Knob.
Yeah. And then,
but then also, I'm sort of scared that I will feel that.
Well, it didn't.
It was
so I could have tried so much harder. Do you know what I mean? You go, oh, fuck. Didn't have as much time as I thought.
I never finished my helicopter.
Find my drawings. Save them. They're worth a lot of money.
Give it 200 years.
And this was incredible. I was like, I mean, yeah, obviously, maybe he said this. I don't know what I may seem to the world, but as to myself, I seem to have only been like a boy playing on the seashore and diverting myself now and then in finding a smoother pebble. A smoother pebble or a prettier shell than ordinary, whilst the great ocean of truth lay all undiscovered before me. Isaac Newton.
Wow. Well,
I mean, he was not a fun guy, right? I read that and I was like, that's amazing. But also, can you imagine being his friends? Like, he's still going. This sentence is still... sentences.
How did he die?
Are you sure
I don't
dying?
Know. Actually, I didn't know that. I mean,
I wonder if he was shot. Like, it does feel like the sort of... No, I don't mean like that. But I wonder, like, it feels like that's like a really coherent sentence
coherent,
in a way.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Like, it has to be something sudden. Because that's not someone that's like really, you know, like...
Yeah, I bet that's not
opium person.
I bet a lot of last words are just shit. Shit!
Man.
God.
Yeah, exactly.
It's got
to
be.
Yeah, I mean, well, you need to be in a place where that death is, like you said, either not painful, not so that you can't be like, just get a doctor. Yeah. Stop asking for my last words. Get someone who knows what's happening. Yeah, because it's like, have you thought about last words at chemo? Have you had any wise thoughts you want to...
Party's over, bitches. You know, something like that. I kind of like that. Yeah, the drama. The drama's over now. Applaud.
Yeah.
I kind of dig it. I thought that was really kind of beautiful and profound.
I liked it. And I thought if anyone can get away with that, if you were a Roman emperor, like you can get away with that, can't you?
Like, drama's over.
Applaud as well.
Applaud.
Did he know they were applauding? He just knew they were going to. They'd do what he said. Jen, have you thought about last words?
No, not up until now.
Yeah, I know. Well, I get it, you know. But I have to say, they're not, this is a sad thing. Like, if you ask anyone who's really watched someone die, they're like, no, not really. There weren't really many last words.
No.
Like, that's the thing we always talk about on the show, of like, you need to have the last words a couple of weeks before.
Yeah.
Like, you need to kind of
get a key conversation you remember.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're still with it. And that's like, that's the problem, is like, a lot of people who are dying, they'll be like, or relatives will be like, oh, they seem okay today. Like, we'll talk tomorrow. It's like, no. Yeah. Do it now, because the next day the morphine will kick in and they might not know who you are or where you are. It's cheerier than it sounds, guys. It's cheerier than it sounds.
My wife and I always say we want our final words to be dead. Or dead now. So
just
you're like,
dead.
Come here. Dead now.
Dead now.
dead now.
Just to confirm as well. Yeah. Like, is he okay? No, he's dead.
He said he's dead.
He definitely said dead. Let so, know, like, yeah.
Dead. What was his final words? Dead. I quite like it.
Dead applaud. I'm ready for my applause.
Clap for me, dead.
What about the idea of a cliffhanger?
Dead. A cliffhanger. Ooh.
Yeah, so you see it in like TV shows all the time when they're about to tell like who the murderer is or something, yeah. And then it'll go like maybe like the setup for a joke or something.
Three policemen walk into a bar. What was it then? Was it surreal? What was it? We don't know. We don't have to finish it. I was once in a school play where I genuinely had to die on stage and I genuinely had to say, the gold is in the... And me and my friend Hannah couldn't do it without laughing because it was so bad. So the gold is in the... And then this like Victorian corpse like shoulder jiggling herself. Yeah, half a joke. That would be good. That would be fun.
Keep them wanting more. Leave them wanting
more. Or they'd just be really confused. They'd just be like, you'd have to be a very clear joke rather than like a story joke.
Yeah.
So I was walking home and this guy, what?
Yeah. What does she mean?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Tom, have you thought about life after death? Do you have any thoughts? Just a light question.
I have a religious family. I stopped being religious. And it's quite, I think quite a lot of people might be in that boat where, like, my family, my mum and dad are still religious, so they believe in life after death, so they believe they're going somewhere. And my grandparents certainly did. I think after death there's nothing. I've made my peace with that, really. I think it's, in fact, this is, like I said, like this year, I've probably started thinking about death more than before. I was packing up my tent at Glastonbury on a massive come down. It's always a good time to start thinking about death.
Yeah.
But it occurred to me, I went to two festivals this year and I took the tent away. Like that tent where you've been all week and it's been like your home and you've done a lot of stuff there. And then you take the tent away and there's this imprint on the ground of where your tent was. And that's all there is like this imprint. And you can see that's there you are. That was where you're, that's your life there. You've been in that. That's been your home and your life for five whole days, and now it's just gone. And then within a week, that imprint won't be there. The grass will grow and carry on. And I kind of think that's life and death right there. You kind of go, you're here, you build this thing, you live, you have this amazing time, and then you take it away. And for a while, there's an imprint of what it was. And then eventually that imprint's gone as well. And
that's really beautiful. But I love that you had it on a come down.
I burst into tears. But like, but in a way that like I kind of like that. I don't think. I think there's a there's a reason why I think we a lot of people
do drugs.
Yeah. You get thoughts like that.
I can see there's a lot of reasons why people want to have life after death.
And
how I've seen firsthand how comforting it is.
I think it helps the
amazingly
process.
So.
Definitely.
And I wouldn't want to take that away from anyone. I think if people have beliefs in life after death, then absolutely fair play. And I think I envy you, you know. But at the same time, I feel very comfortable with this is our. You're blessed to have this time on earth. We all are. Mm. And it is what it is. You know, everyone wants it to be a long life, but sometimes it can't be. Sometimes it's painfully short. Sometimes it isn't. But this thing of like, everyone's got potential, but potential isn't, you know, things are what they are and that's it, really.
I think that's really nice. And I feel like you've made me understand why I feel weird when the tent goes down. Do you know what I mean? Like, you see, I know exactly that dead grass and you always feel a bit weird about it. And then you're like, oh, I don't know why it's just dead grass. But you're right, because it's like, it's such a clear... like a clear visual metaphor of what you've done to something, which you don't often get to see when you leave somewhere. Yeah. Like, oh, I was here. Okay. And I think as humans, we quite like, that feels like, oh, yeah. Kima, what are your, so your family are religious as well, you were saying. Mm. Yeah, so do you feel...
Oh, baby. where?
They're not here, don't worry.
where are we going?
Please, welcome to the stage. A little surprise for you. It's Kima's family, everybody.
Oh,
The core four.
The core four.
And they want to know how you feel about God and when the last time you went to church was. No.
Please.
Yeah, do you believe in life after death, or is it something you're still working on and you haven't resolved either way?
I feel like my views have shifted from being really like, heaven is a thing, we're gonna go, except you and you and you and you.
I love that.
You guys
that
aren't invited. Yeah, yeah, that's all of them. That's all of them.
It's a great hymn.
You guys can't come. I've gone from that exclusivity.
Yeah, yeah.
To kind of avoiding the thought, but thinking about ways to live on.
Yeah, yeah.
And so whether it be in a kind of reincarnate way, I feel like love and life are in everything. And so I think those, I feel like they transfer more than they die. Mm. And I feel like any kind of work I can do or societal change I can bring would be how I would live on.
Yeah, yeah.
More than any other kind of bits. Yeah, so a lot of pressure to achieve some shit.
I think that's really lovely again. I think it's true. And I think that is where faith comes from. Like, it comes from seeing love being passed on and transferred, yeah, and people changing it. And it's just, there used to be this faith, you know, system placed on that, and as we move into society where that's not so prevalent, it does make sense to me that, yeah, that is something still tangible you can see, mm, even if you don't have faith. Jen, what are your thoughts apart from your very serious Jewish cremation?
I don't believe in hell.
Great, that's handy.
And I don't believe in heaven, but I like to think you get to have some sort of continuation of something. Yeah, yeah. And I don't think I really believe it, but I think I want to.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I like the idea of, like, because I think the idea of just becoming nothing is quite terrifying.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
I won't have it. Me? No.
Not me.
So I'm here now, but one day I won't be at all. Okay.
Lucky. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. I think it is a really hard...
Sounds
especially
like
if you've been brought up with any faith or your family had any faith, to have to then shift over to like nothing is, and again, it's sort of the extreme, isn't it? Of like, there's either this magical place where there's everything or there's nothing. And I agree with you. I'm sort of like, I'd like to be further back on the spectrum slightly where maybe there's,
I kind of think, do you remember the Magic Faraway Tree by Enid Blyton?
Yes.
I kind of imagine that kind of situation as a sort of slightly.
So you want your heaven but written by Enid Blyton.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. And like just some weird talking toadstools and stuff.
Yeah. A chair? Isn't there a chair that talks?
Do you know what? It's such a long time ago. I can't really
moon
remember.
Moon face? But wishing chair, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
you. Do you ever go to a party where there's like so many people there that it's stressful?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
every single party.
When you know too many people at a party, yeah, and you're kind of like trying to talk to one person, it's like, hey, you're like, oh, hello, and you kind of go, oh, God. And you end up pretending to go to the toilet quite a lot.
Yeah.
just to have a bit of dad time.
I can just tell you know that if you're pregnant, it is amazing. You're like, I need to go to the toilet, and nobody thinks you're leaving the conversation.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that's where you're like, well, welcome to heaven party. If
there is an afterlife and we're all there, that's going to be a bit much, isn't it?
It would be stressful if everyone you knew. Yeah,
you'd be like, well, you know, my uni mates are here and all my family.
When
and
will they meet?
My old school friends and that dude who died. But, you know, like, yeah. Oh, God, this is... Oh God,
this people,
like, that people I worked with for that summer, like, who I got on with, but I wasn't really myself. So it's always weird to see them, like... Oh, God.
And so that motherfuckers in here didn't expect to see ever again.
I know, that's the thing with heaven, especially if you've lost a parent young, like, you're like, so what, are they going to be the same age as they died? Or are they going to be ill? Are they going to be magically healed? And then is that weird, like... Like, it might, like, if you're, you know, my dad died when he was 44. So then, like, if me and my brother get older, did we then meet him as a, or is he just, like, there's so, once you get into the logistics of religion, you get really lost. You're like, fucking hell.
What if everyone's just, it goes to, like, their hottest age? Just, like, whatever they felt was, like, their, like, peak.
Their peak.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if that's 25. Your dad, Kima, you're just going to be like, what, this is weird that I'm you're 21.
Hey, man, heaven's a sexy place. It's pretty steamy up there.
Oh, baby, do you know what it's like? Heaven is a sexy place.
No STDs in heaven, y'all.
Yeah. I think, I mean, it'd be...
I've got quite a good toilet story from my family.
Yes, please.
Yes,
so,
Mina.
My granddad passed away 4 years ago. I was very close to my granddad. He kind of was the linchpin of the family. And
We all went round to my nan's house and we were waiting for the coffin to arrive. And my granddad's two sisters were there and they all look very similar. They're really old kind of Birmingham family. Yeah. And my granddad and his two sisters look identical. They all look like kind of like these big burly Midlands men. Like Auntie Pat and Auntie Sylvia. They're incredible characters. And anyway, we wait for the coffin and then we went off to the creme. A week later, my nan's front garden starts flooding with sewage. And all shit starts coming up through her front lawn.
Oh, no.
And they get a plumber round. And bear in mind, she's grieving. She's lost her husband. They get a plumber round. And he goes into the toilet at the front of the house. And it's completely blocked. And it has been blocked for a week. And it started to back. And all this shit's come up in the front garden, right? And he finds in the U-bend the head of a toilet brush that someone has flushed down the toilet. So a week later, after my granddad's funeral, this witch hunt goes through the family. Someone flushed the toilet head down the toilet at Nan's house. Who was it, right? And everyone started to pin it on either me. I was a suspect. My Uncle Brian, who'd gone back to South Africa, fled the scene. or my two little cousins who were like six, and it was like they didn't know any better.
They didn't know better, yeah.
So after a week of this, my nan starts telling Auntie Sylvie, you won't believe what happened. One of the kids put this toilet brush down the thing. Auntie Sylvie goes quiet. And the great thing about this story is the running gag between my granddad and his sister, every time she came around the house, he used to go, you're just here to use the bloody toilet. That's all you come round for, to have a dump in my loo. And he used to charge her 20p every time she went to the toilet. That was their running joke. Anyway, Auntie Sylvie, it transpires, went to the toilet and just as the coffin was approaching the house, just as the funeral car was approaching, she did a shit so big it wouldn't flush. Right?
I'm crying, I'm actually
crying. So she got the toilet brush and was trying to poke it down and the toilet head came off. And she just tried to flush in her panic, came out, couldn't tell anyone because granddad had just arrived.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
And we just went off to the creme and didn't tell anyone. So on the day of his funeral, his sister blocked up his toilet and flooded his front garden with shit a week after he'd gone. And he would have loved that so much.
I'm actually in pain. My head hurts. I've been laughing so much. That is so beautiful. Like, that to me is that is life. That is love. That is how people live on in ways
exactly.
You do not expect. Because that is like the reality of family. It's not in like, oh, they left me this magical ring. That it's like, no, they shit in your toilet. They block it up. Yeah. And then a week later, they have to admit it. What could she do? She could have, the coffin turned up. She did the right thing. She couldn't have said, sorry, guys.
I just even think of her being in the creme, watching his coffin go by, thinking, I've blocked your toilet, Norm.
But then also laughing, she must have sort of known. Oh, he'd be so cross about it. I hope she left 20p at your nan's.
Hell yeah.
A pound, surely. Oh my God, that is that is so beautiful. Yeah. That is so beautiful. Thank you so much. We're ending there, guys. Thank you so much. That is life right there. That's so good. Thank you so much for coming and listening to a cheery chat about death. I hugely appreciate it for listening to the show. Hopefully, if you had never listened to the show, you now know you can laugh about death, guys. You never know what's going to come up, literally, in your lawn. So, I like how it started as a nightmare scenario. There's shit in it, but then became very funny. It's nice. Please give a massive round of applause to our guests with Kima Bob, Tom Parry, and Jenny Bead. Very much. Good night,
everyone. A round of applause for Kerri-Anne Lai.
Thank you. You can follow Jenny Bead on Twitter at Jenny Bead, B-E-D-E. You can follow Tom on Twitter at Thomas P, T-O-M-O-S-P, Thomas Parry. And Kima Bob is at K
K-E-M-A-H-B-O-B. And do check out their websites and stuff. They're all touring and doing various gigs and have loads of online stuff, and they are very, very funny people. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at The Griefcast. The show was edited by Kate Holland, with thanks to Whistledown Studios, and the music was provided by The Glue Ensemble. And remember, you are not alone.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.